Hello and welcome back to Small Talk. We've got a great episode ahead as we chat with a pair from Middlebury. I'm your host, Katie Mucci. Each week on this show, we highlight the past and present of Division III, with both current and former student athletes joining to talk about their experiences, their favorite on-campus spots, the craziest road trip stories, and more. This week, we're chatting with Robbie Ward, a current member of the men's tennis team, alongside his head coach and a former student athlete, Andrew Thompson. The two talk about the one time a teammate got lost during a volcano hike, what brought them to Middlebury, why they've loved their D3 experiences, and more. Thanks for joining this week. Now it's time for some small talk.
Hi, my name is Robbie Ward. I'm a current member of the men's tennis team at Middlebury.
Hi, my name is Andrew Thompson. I'm a former member of the men's tennis team at Middlebury, and I am currently the head men's tennis coach here at Middlebury.
Thank you to both so much for joining me in the middle of season, or at least the getting to the end of season, I guess. You're about to go into your conference tournament, so thank you both for taking some time out of your busy schedules to be here. Excited to chat and hear about your time up at Middlebury. Speaking of Middlebury, we're going to start this conversation talking about on-campus life. So it's always been fun to hear about, you know, the spots around campus. I know both of you are out-of-staters going there, I think, at least from your bios and your rosters. But when you're around campus, and Robbie, I'll have you start this one. When you're around campus and you're with your teammates or your friends, what are some of those spots you guys hang out in, the local restaurants, coffee shops, things like that? And then, Andrew, has that changed since you graduated?
Yeah, I'd say for the tennis team specifically, where our seniors live have always been a sanctuary for all of us. So tennis team, we're a small knit group. We're one big friend group. And wherever our senior lives, we'll generally have a common area. That will always be a sanctuary for us. So this year, some of our seniors live in the townhouses, which is a incredibly nice living area on campus, close to one of the dining halls, Proctor Hall. And so you'll find the tennis team there a lot of the days together, spending weekends there together. And that's a great spot for us to be.
Yeah, it's well said, Robbie. It was always the same for us. So kind of the hangout spot changes year by year, kind of based on the living setup of the members of the team. And Robbie also kind of alluded to the dining halls. I think that's always a fun spot, you know, where, you know, just so often after practice, we're figuring out which dining hall we want to go eat at and having team meals together. And there's just always something fun about breaking bread together.
What's the best dining hall meal on campus?
You want to start, Robbie?
Yeah, it's a controversial topic on campus. Everyone has their sort of dining hall that they go to, and sometimes the team is split as well. I personally love Atwater. Atwater is a great ambiance to hang out in. AT has actually joined us recently as his wife or kids are in Arizona, getting some teens with a meal, being back with us out in the dining halls. So I love Atwater. Some of our teammates like Ross, as well as Proctor, but I'm an Atwater fan through and through.
Yeah, I'd agree with Robbie on that one. And one of my favorite meals, you know, and it was fun. I had as a student, I had a really cool experience where in one of my classes called Psychology of Work, I got to shadow one of the dining hall workers for a day, which was really fun. And I actually asked them, you know, they have different menus at each of the three dining halls. And I said, hey, like, you know, how do you know how much food to make? You know, like, how do you know which dining hall all the students are going to choose to come to? And what I thought was neat was they said that they would look at the menus for each of the three, and they kind of knew what were the most popular meals and different things. And they said the most popular meal on campus, at least then when I was a student, was the chicken parm night, which was definitely one of my favorites and always look forward to that.
Chicken parm night is personally my least favorite, as I'm gluten-free. And generally when, when the chicken parm is out, there's not as many gluten-free options. I got to go for, sometimes Middlebury can cook a mini, pretty mean steak, and steak and rice night is always a hit.
Man, should have picked a better college. I don't think we had anything that sounded quite as nice as those. We had like pizza, a salad bar, sandwiches, normal college things. Okay. So that's Middlebury. That's when you're home, but let's talk about road trips now. So, obviously we're in Division III, so you're not necessarily flying all over the country, as some others might be. You have a lot of schools up in the Northeast area that you can probably hop on a quick bus or a van ride too. But I'll start with you on this one, Andrew. So you graduated a little bit ago. Was, and now as coach, was travel a bit different for you? Was the budget for travel a bit different? Were you, what was it like when you were a student athlete?
Yeah, I would say it's changed a little bit. When I was a player, typically we would have one coach drive a large van to matches, to most of our matches that are played in the Northeast. And like you said, we can find many strong opponents within a few hours' drive of us, which is great. One of the downsides of that was if our team size was pretty big, we couldn't always take every single player sometimes when we had that. So that was sort of a challenge. And then the other challenge, which was, well, at the time I was a player, but for our coaches, they would have to drive a lot of times the day of the matches. And then we'd play the match and we'd have to get back in the vans and drive all the way home. So it's a really long day on the coaches. And I'm really impressed with how our coaches manage that and never seem to complain about it. But I certainly feel like we've improved in terms of the way we've been able to operate. We've been able to get buses a lot more frequently for our road trips, which allows everyone to travel. And then selfishly, as a coach, now I don't have to drive. And we can just do little things like we can do little check-in meetings with the players, which is super fun. And there's more space on the bus for the guys to do homework and probably a little safer to have a bus driver than a very tired coach driving at the end of the day. So I think those have been a lot of really cool things. But you did mention flight travel, which we're very fortunate. We've really been going to one of the same places and even staying at one of the same exact hotels we stayed at when I was a player. So we go to Southern California most years on spring break. And that's a fun tradition for me and is very nostalgic now, given that it was a very similar experience for me as a player. And if the team does well, we get to fly somewhere for NCAAs. So we get a couple of plane trips in, which is fun because there's nothing like being on the road to kind of bring your team together and just share those memories of traveling together.
I'm actually gonna go right off of that quick. So you said you make it out to Southern California. When I was looking at your bio, it looks like you coached out there at Pomona and then Claremont. You went to school at Claremont. Is that fun? Obviously, you went there as a student. Maybe you were like, actually, I want to live here someday. And then now you get to go back. What's that been like, just having the ability to go back there and, with this team now?
Yeah, it's super fun, and there's just so many connections. As an example, I always meet up with my research advisor from graduate school when I go there, which is an absolute blast. I get to take the team to what became some of my very favorite spots to eat. There's a little tiny taco shop called the Taco Man, in Montclair, just adjacent to Claremont where we go, and it's just absolutely awesome. And I've taken the team there many times and it's really cool to kind of share my own experiences. And I think you're right that having been out there as a player kind of opened my eyes to, hey, this is a really cool area. They had a graduate program that was really specific to something I was excited about studying, and just all kind of worked out. So a lot of cool connections that way, but I think it's not entirely coincidental, like you said.
Doesn't hurt that there's much less snow out there, probably.
Right.
And for you, Robbie, you obviously, we know how you're traveling now. He mentioned it a bit, but I do see, like you said, you go out to California. Maybe just for you, what are some of the fun trips and maybe just best parts of these road trips you're taking with their team? You mentioned you guys are a really close-knit, team and friend group. But just talk about the travel experiences, maybe more broadly, of what it's been like for you.
Yeah, as AT mentioned, we're starting to travel mostly on buses, especially during the season. And that's a great opportunity to kind of spread out, relax, do homework, walk around the bus, check in with any of your buddies on the bus, fool around. We definitely create that team camaraderie there. There'll be some shouting, some laughing, some sleep time, obviously, on the bus when we're all tired, that you get kind of the whole experience there. AT talked about this, but the spring break trip is a awesome time for us. We get to travel to some nice weather. In Vermont, it's quite cold around that period in the middle of March or early March, and so that's a fantastic time to head out there. We have some off days out there, and we kind of previously we've rented three minivans, and then we kind of drive that around as a squad, and then we'll be able to do some day trips, and that gives us some flexibility. So in previous years, we've gone to down to Dana Point, which is an awesome beach town that the tennis team, which I was a part of, had spent there. We spent our COVID season there when we weren't didn't think we were going to have a season. So we take some time to check that area out, have some good old remembrances there. And then this last year, we were able to go to Ventura, California, where one of our players, Noah Labor, is from, and hang out on the beach, check out his town and house. And his parents and family were very nice to have us and have a little barbecue out there. So having those three minivans gave us that flexibility and to travel around in the LA area, which is always, we always look forward to.
Awesome. Now let's talk about some academics, some just about Middlebury too in general. So as I mentioned, when I looked you guys up, I saw you're both from out of state. So obviously tennis probably played a big role in getting you to Middlebury, but what made Middlebury specifically maybe the right choice for you? And Andrew, I'll have you start this one again.
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I think what made Middlebury the right choice is kind of something you're describing, which is it fit me well from both an academic and athletic perspective, and a really nice balance with those things. So it was super fun. You know, I wasn't coming into Middlebury, I wasn't 100% sure what I wanted to study. So it was a perfect place to kind of really explore and try different things and kind of expose myself to different topics that I hadn't yet studied in high school. And I think that's something that, you know, helped to make it fit really well for me.
Robbie, how about you?
For me, I knew I wanted to go to an academically strong school as well as a school with a great tennis program. And that's kind of what helped narrow my schools down to a few. What separated Middlebury apart, I think, was AT and Bob, the people that recruited me. The impression that they left on me in that recruiting process was incredibly strong, creating this sort of excitement that I didn't necessarily find in some of my other recruiting processes. And then another piece for me was feeling that vibe on campus, being able to visit the campus, walk around, see what the students were doing, seeing what the campus looked like, was incredibly helpful for me to then depend on my gut feeling and that sort of final decision. Middlebury campus is incredibly beautiful with these white limestone buildings, walking around with this big green open space that kind of attracted me to go there. And so that's kind of what sort of swayed my decision. And then not to mention, we have a snow bowl that is 20 minutes away and I am an avid skier. And so that was a big plus for me. And it's something that I've utilized as I've been here at Middlebury.
Awesome. Always good to have those extra recruiting tools, right, Coach?
100%. I think you can tell Robbie's made use of all these resources on campus. And like you said, it's a beautiful place here. You know, I think it's the trick is once we just got to get people out here to experience it. And there's something special, you know. And the other thing I'll add to what Robbie said, which I think was a big piece for me, is that there's a sense of community here. Like, people really care when you talk to them. And, it, you know, we feel like we have that on the tennis team, but it definitely extends beyond that. And I think, you know, we hope that feeling for everybody who visits us, they kind of get to sample that a little bit, whether they're interacting with a professor or, you know, just somebody in our local community at one of the sandwich shops. It's got a comfortable and sort of just beautiful laid back approach to life here at Middlebury.
Awesome. And Robbie, what is your major? You are in your senior year, right?
Yes, I'm in my senior year and I'm currently looking to complete an environmental economics major. As AT said, coming into college, I had no idea what I wanted to study, and that liberal arts education kind of provided me the mechanisms to explore any sort of class I wanted to take. My freshman year, I was taking comp sci and art history, and I had no idea what I wanted to study. But when taking classes, I started to become attracted to our environmental studies program here. And within that program, you can have a foci with any sort of other major at the school. And so I then decided that I wanted to become an environmental economics major through that, which has been a great experience. And the environmental studies program has incredibly strong professors, and it has kind of built a community around all the students within that program, which is exciting to take classes with all the students.
And I'm going to ask you the dreaded question that gets asked of college seniors. Do you have a plan for what's next yet?
Yes, unfortunately, I do. These last two summers, I worked at a renewable energy company out in Minneapolis, and I had an incredible experience there, and I will be headed back there to work full time as an analyst. It's a renewable energy company called National Grid Renewables. who develops utility scale wind, solar, and battery storage. So very fitting to the major. I'm excited about the work I'll be doing. And fortunately, my sister is out there. And so I'm from Delaware, but now I'll be out in the Midwest, battling the cold still.
Yeah.
I went from Vermont and now I'll be out in Minneapolis, but nothing I can't handle and I'm excited for.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. I'm sure it is nice to have that weight off your back of trying to find a full-time job, like I'm sure some of your friends are doing right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
So awesome. Well, now we're going to get into some story time. So the first thing I want from both of you is your funniest or craziest, but appropriate story. And Robbie, I do know your coach is on here, so maybe take that into account.
But, yeah, no pressure, Robbie.
If we need to do earmuffs, I can kick Andrew off the call if we need to. but have your funniest or your craziest story. So Robbie, I'll have you start this one.
Yes. You know, it was fun to think about this. There's so many great moments on the tennis team. But one thing that's very unique to our team is that we have a period of time after what we call J term and then our second semester, where as a tennis team, generally we'll try to find a place to travel to all together. I have a teammate, Andrew Mueller, who is from Guatemala, born and raised, and him and his family had us out to Guatemala during that time. And everyone on the team, mostly everyone on the team was able to go. During that time, Andrew planned a great trip and we had a lot of great excursions out there. One of them, we were able to summit a volcano called Acatenango, close to his hometown, Antigua. This was an amazing experience. It was a 13,000 foot volcano. I don't think anyone on the team had climbed anything that high. So Andrew had us wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning to hike this mountain to see the sunset. And I think we none of us knew what to expect, but we had a car drive us a partial way up the mountain. And then we had this about 2 mile trek to the top. I'd been on hikes and 2 miles. I was like, well, it's doable and it's fun. And we'll all be together. We'll be chatting, hanging out. But as soon as we got out of the car, we quickly realized how much that altitude meant. And we were all breathing incredibly heavy. None of us were talking. We're slugging along up this mountain. And about halfway up, we kind of look around and everyone's there. And then we realize Julian Wu, our current freshman on the team at that time, was nowhere to be seen. And Juju moves incredibly well on the tennis court. He's a fit guy and he was nowhere to be seen. And so we look behind us and Julian with the other tour guide is about 200 yards down behind us, slugging his way up even slower than we were going and trekking on behind us. And eventually we made it to the summit. Julian made it an hour or two after, but we eventually all made it up and we enjoyed that sunrise at the top. But that was an amazing experience. Shout out the Mueller family for having us out there. We're fortunate enough to get everyone out there, which was awesome. And have experience none of us will ever forget. So that was definitely one to remember.
Julian definitely won't forget it.
Exactly.
Andrew, how about you? What's one of your stories from playing?
First, you know, I got to say I'm jealous. I didn't know where my invite was for this trip to Guatemala with the team, but that was such a cool trip that those guys did. In terms of, are we going funny story here?
Let's go funny or crazy, you know.
All right. I'll try to accomplish that while staying appropriate. And I'll kind of rewind back to, I think this was the fall of 2006. So it was my freshman year at Middlebury. And we were going to play our first fall tournament, which happened to be at Cornell. It was a tournament hosted at Cornell. So there was a whole mix of teams, some D3 teams, a lot of Division I programs. And being a freshman who had never experienced any college matches yet, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. And so we get to the Cornell indoor facility and walk in and there's all these matches, you know, going on. And there was a particular match between two players who are not Middlebury players and I'll leave their school names out of it. But, you know, tennis happens to be a sport where you have to make your own line calls and you're kind of your own referee out there. And let's just say there was a lot of cheating going on in this match. The players, you know, each player was calling each other shots out that were really in, and it was a lot of yelling and arguing. And, you know, after quite some time, the match finally ended. And as the player who had won the match was walking off the courts, my coach went over to him and said, "Hey, like a lot of bad calls out there, huh?" And the kid looked at my coach and he goes, oh yeah, a lot of bad calls, a lot of bad calls." So just openly admitting that there was just cheating going back and forth. And for me, it just kind of opened my eyes. Oh my gosh, this college tennis is kind of can be a serious and contentious thing and very competitive. And it's just something I always laugh about because it turns out most matches go decently well, but you know, it can be incredibly competitive and feisty and you know, not just this traditional sport where people are always acting properly. You know, it can get pretty fiery on the college tennis scene, and that certainly opened my eyes to it right away.
Yeah, it can. I've worked at conferences my whole life, so I've been at many tennis championships, and even at the conference championship level, only having maybe one official per three courts or something, you're seeing some fiery stuff, and I get it. It's competitive. It's fun.
For sure.
Awesome. So those are funny, crazy stories about how you lost your teammate on a volcano. But let's talk about just favorite memories. I see behind you, Andrew, you have a handful of trophies there. So maybe that's something with one of those favorite memories, or maybe it's something else. So I'll have you start this one, Andrew. What is just a favorite memory during your time as a student athlete?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's, you know, some of the best memories are just the little things, I think, on the courts, but it's hard not to remember some of the peak moments, which, you know, those trophies signify for sure. And yeah, I'd have to go as a student athlete. You know, my senior year, we had a lineup that consisted of six seniors and one junior on the team. So we had been at it for a while and kind of had been knocking on the door. And you know, we were fortunate enough to win a national title that year. And just that kind of feeling of relief when we kind of watched my teammate Conrad clinch the match and storm the court. And it's kind of hard to beat that high of that particular feeling. But the best part, I think, was just like being able to share that experience with everybody who was there. You know, we had parents traveling from across the country. We had friends from campus who drove all the way out to Ohio to come watch us play. And it just really meant a lot to see, you know, our close friends and family members who had sacrificed so much to kind of support us on this experience we had. They were there with us, you know. So to me, I think that was the coolest part, you know, and obviously winning was great, but just having those people there with us for moments like that was just certainly something I'll never forget and that, you know, I appreciate now. And, you know, I feel like our group has that same level of support too. So I think we're just super fortunate in that way to kind of have that community.
That's awesome. And I see that you've also won a championship as a head or as a coach, maybe not a head coach, I guess, in 2018.
Correct.
What
Yeah, I was an assistant coach that year.
was sweeter for you? Is it winning as a player or winning it as a coach now for some, or are they about the same and they have different ways?
Yeah, that is so hard to say. I mean, I think, you know, I have two kids now. One is 3 years old and one is 8 months old. And it's kind of like you can never pick between them, you know, and they're just so different, you know. And I would say that not to make an analogy between my kids and trying to win tennis championships, but you know, I think it's similar in the sense that it's just impossible to pick between them because you know, it's just totally different perspectives, you know, when you're out there on the court as a player. It's just sort of a different vibe as when you're sitting on the sidelines as a coach, watching it unfold from that vantage point. It's amazingly cool, but in just a completely different way. And they were both incredibly sweet, you know, and it was, yeah, both very significant parts of my life for sure. And as are all the years that we don't win it, actually, you know, I think it's sometimes reflecting back, it's, you know, you have that immediate high when you kind of finish as the winner of a tournament. But after you take a little time and look back, like some of the other years, I think were equally as fun and special. And you just kind of remember each group and kind of the different way you were trying to add to that group and sort of be a small part of it, whether as a coach or player. So I think that's I guess one of the things that I like most about it is that every single year is different, you know, just a little bit, whether as a coach, player, so it's really cool. And I can't really answer your question, so sorry about
That's
that.
fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Robbie, for you, what's your favorite memory so far in your time?
Yeah. As AT was talking, it's definitely those little moments that sort of all add up to then help make that big moment happen and then help you feel that much more accomplished in those big moments. So all small moments getting there, definitely significant, and definitely it's hard to point to one, but important on that road to kind of our collective goal to win a regional championship and a national or conference championship, and then hopefully at some point a national championship. But if I had to speak to one, last year we had an incredible NESCAC finals match, and which I was able to be a part of as Andrew was out there coaching. We are up against Bowdoin, a team that we had previously lost to in the regular season, and our program has always gone back and forth with Bowdoin. You could say we are somewhat rivals. And so we're up against Bowdoin, and every guy was hungry. Every guy had their energy up. We wanted to get some revenge. But we started a little slow. We went down 0-2 in doubles pretty quickly. We had our one double still out there kind of going at it, and they're able to make a comeback and then win their doubles match in a tiebreak. So very close, within one game of the other team, and the energy lifted. And watching that doubles match, energy was high. It kind of gave us hope to then take a crack at them in the singles. And then so that singles match, it was gritty. We were inside at Williams, so only four guys could go out, four out of the six singles that will typically go out in a tennis match. And we were watching, it was going back and forth. I wasn't on the first wave. I was going to be on the second wave. And you could see our guys leaving their heart out there on the court. And as a player getting ready to go out there, watching our current guys out there, I just knew that, the only thing that everyone was doing and that you could do was go out and give it your best shot for the team. And so I think it was around, the score ended up being 3-3. And then I went out there to then have to try and get a point. You know, tennis match ends as soon as you get to 5 points. And so I go out there and competing. I think Neil or another guy on the team had just lost their match. So then we're down 3-4. I was out there with another guy, Noah Labor, our one singles, who was out there, and both of us had to win that match in order to win that conference. And I just remember being out there playing that match, looking around, looking at my teammates supporting me, looking at Noah battling, feeling the sort of energy that everyone left out there on the court before, and feeling that support, feeling that all that hard work accumulate into that sort of one moment, feeling that sort of experience that all of us have had as a team, putting in the hard work, all that accumulates into this one moment. It wasn't about necessarily winning that match, but it was about feeling that support and feeling that sort of competition to strive towards that one goal. And then all the pieces started to come together. Noah and I both started to do well, and then we turned both those matches our way. And so there's these amazing pictures of everyone rushing the court on Noah's court, ecstatic about winning that match, coming back, creating that feeling that everyone strives for. So that that will be a memorable experience for me for the rest of my life.
That's awesome. So now we are going to kind of start to wrap up the conversation and get to just a couple of more D3 questions, a little bit more abstract. And I will start with you on this one, Robbie. You are in your senior year, so you've been at a Division III school for 4 years now, I think, if I can do math. And so just for you, what does it mean to you to be a Division III student athlete? Maybe that's just getting to be involved in some more things, better, you know, great academics, things like that. What has that experience meant to you?
I've loved it so much that it's taken me longer than a typical student. I'm on my fifth year. COVID threw a couple wrenches in there, and I took two semesters off total. So I'm in my fifth year as a D3 student athlete. It kind of comes threefold. One, being a D3 student athlete kind of gives you that ability to pursue your academic interests and then the sort of career you want to pursue later in life. And so the majority of my teammates have the opportunity to then pursue a summer internship that I don't think you'd have as much access to being a D1 athlete. So you're able to explore in that way. And then you're able to focus a little bit more on your academics and sort of explore the interests that you find in the classroom, develop that relationship with your professors and your classmates a little bit stronger. And let that sort of interest drive you in the classroom as you're able to put more time to it. Second is definitely the opportunities outside the classroom to, whether that be outdoor activities or hanging out with friends, for me specifically, whether that's going up to the snowball with a group of friends, or I was one time able to camp and hike along the Long Trail, which is the trail that goes all the way up through Vermont to Canada. One of the activities the team likes to do as a whole is go to Lake Dunmore and spend time out in the sun, hanging out on a lake in Vermont. So having that time and the access to outdoor activities and spending time with friends has been a huge possibility for me as a D3 athlete. And then thirdly is being able to compete at a high level at an incredible program. You know, as I mentioned before, I wanted to come to a strong tennis program that has the opportunity to compete for a national championship every year. And having that cumulative goal as a team to work towards, drive you every day, has been an incredible experience. And then at Middlebury specifically, you know, it's AT, previous coach Bob Hansen's goal, as well as current coach TK, to kind of, more than pursuing that national championship, kind of create, have each player come out of the program as a better person and grow as a person, grow together with the team, and lead them throughout the process through of college, which shapes your life for the rest for a long time. And so having that program supporting me, being with these close-knit guys that have been my friends throughout the college process, that's what that D3 experience means to me.
Awesome. Andrew, how about for you when you were doing the D3 student athlete thing?
Hard to beat what Robbie just said. You know, I think he really hit the nail on the head, and kind of scratching my brain for how I'm going to add to that. But I think, you know, you can even hear in Robbie's responses, you know, like, just the idea really is to just create this incredibly rich experience where you can do all of these pieces really well, you know, and not even necessarily think of ourselves as a Division III athlete. You know, I think many of us at Middlebury feel like, hey, like, we just want to be great athletes, and we want to explore how good we can get at this game of tennis in our context, and really see where we can take ourselves, which is really fun. You know, we've had, myself included, I continued to play some tennis after I graduated, and just kind of fell in love with the sport even more so than when I came to Middlebury. So I thought that was a really cool piece. But also, like Robbie said, you know, having a really rich academic experience where you get to know professors on a deep level. And, you know, when I came back to Middlebury as a coach, I was going out to eat to lunch with some of my former professors and reconnecting with them and, you know, reminding them how they were important mentors in my life that kind of helped shape me, and kind of creating that community from that standpoint. So, you know, I sort of view it in a similar way to Robbie, where if, when it's done well, you can really push yourself towards your athletic goals and explore your potential in that domain. You can push yourself towards your career goals, whatever they may be, or maybe even exploring and figuring out what your career goals really are going to be as part of that process. But then probably the ultimate thing is just coming out of it with lifelong friendships, you know. And, you know, I think oftentimes it's the bonds and friendships on your own team, but it can be with professors and your other students outside of your athletic team that you're on as well. And I think trying to check all those boxes and just create as rich of an experience as you can is kind of that ultimate goal that, you know, if it sort of pushes you forward, and Robbie used the term better person, you know, that's really what we're going after. And I felt really fortunate that I had those pieces in a lot of ways. And I'm thankful for all the, you know, teammates, professors, coaches that I had who have kind of set the stage for what Middlebury is, and, you know, both as a tennis program and beyond. And, you know, I feel like we're still benefiting from this sort of rich history that Robbie and myself have inherited from a lot of hard work that people who came before us have kind of put in. So to try and keep all that in perspective, I think is not always an easy goal on a day-to-day basis, but, you know, I think that's the fun thing that we're after. And it really is something special, you know, and it's pretty cool for me to listen to Robbie kind of outline those things, because I just feel so strongly about it. And for to kind of hear him echo that, just makes me light up, you know, because that's one of the big reasons I wanted to come back as a coach, is to try to support that experience for Robbie and all his teammates and whoever else is to come next. And, you know, it takes a lot of work day in and day out to try to create that as best we can. But yeah, that's the ultimate goal.
Great. Now, the last question, you're going to have to look a little bit into the future here and try to pull out a crystal ball or something. But, you know, this podcast is part of our 50th anniversary of Division III. We're celebrating all year long. So we are 50 years down, obviously. Many, many more to come. So as you look around the Division III landscape, maybe it's the men's tennis landscape, or just Division III in general, what do you see or what do you hope to see for the future of Division III? And Andrew, I'll go to you first and then Robbie. Close us out.
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think I would start by saying, I hope that for the Division III athletics, we keep this balance of having a really rich level of competition and athleticism, but also that people just have the feeling they're playing for the love of the game, whether it's tennis or other sports. And it's I think we have a really good balance with that, where there's some special competitions, but we're doing it because we absolutely love it. And I think also to kind of continue to promote what we're doing, you know, I think it's there's a small audiences in D3 that sort of follow what we're doing that makes it really, really special. And I hope over time that audience kind of grows, because I think it is rich and compelling, all the competition that happens between, you know, certain programs year after year across the different sports. And I think it's incredibly valuable, and it's beautiful entertainment for people to watch and experience and kind of be a part of, whether it's, you know, alumni coming back and supporting that, or just people more generally. So, you know, I kind of anticipate that the platform is only going to grow, because the quality of the athletics really is so strong, that there's just a lot of people who are choosing to come to Division III sports now, who just want this really rich balance of academics and athletics. It's just a beautiful thing that I hope gets shared with more and more people. And I think as technology kind of continues to get better, we'll be able to do that more easily, you know, like we do, as well as there's quite a handful of Division III teams now that have live streaming capability, for example, for our matches. And it's just fun to be able to kind of share these experiences with more and more people, you know, beyond just friends and family who's following us closely, and kind of create a little bit of a fan base. So that'd be a lot of fun, and where I hope it's headed.
E.T., you put it very well. Coming into D3 tennis specifically, I was personally surprised at how the level of tennis that there was, and the level that this tennis has been growing, and how much competition there is out there. And for example, going into the season, you know, Middlebury, we like to consider ourselves one of the more dominant teams, but there's so many strong other teams out there across the nation in our conference, and anything can happen within those matches. And so as people start to realize the access you can get with the student athlete experience in a D3 sport, I see sort of this competition further increasing, and this sort of depth that you get in D3 competition to increase, to the point where it's, I don't know, similar to March Madness, where you have no idea who's going to win what match, and the competition is strong throughout the board. And so that's been incredible for me to see coming into as a novice my freshman year, and then competing throughout these 5 years. It's competition is incredibly strong. And you start to see it with COVID. You have some athletes out there that are now able to get a fifth or sixth year at another school after graduating from a D3 college. I'll talk about a friend and a guy from my section, James Hopper, who competed for Case Western, another D3 school. He is now competing for UVA, and he's doing incredibly well in their doubles lineup, and sometimes in their singles, which is a top D1 program in the tennis world. And so to see a D3 athlete then graduate and compete in such a high level is gives hope to other athletes and D3 athletes in the sport, and then just speaks to how strong it is.
That's great. Great way to close it out. Well, once again, thank you too so much for joining me. I know you are just a couple days away from the start of the NESCAC tournament. So, wishing you the best of luck there and then surely on to the NCAA tournament. So, wishing you the best of luck for the rest of your season. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Katie.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Katie. Appreciate you.
To everyone listening, thanks for tuning into this episode of Small Talk. We post new episodes every Thursday. To follow along with everything Division III, you can find us on social media at NCAAD3 or NCAADIII. Make sure to join the conversation with us all year long by using the hashtag DIII50. Have a great day, and we'll see you for some more small talk next week.